Good morning again. Thank you for those songs, John. A few thoughts that I started thinking a couple weeks ago. I got an email from Wendell Glick, just a regular update, music-related things, and also sort of a family update, and talked about his son Dante and his struggle with is it leukemia, I believe, it's cancer. And it seems to be going well now, but he's reflecting on a very difficult year, and or set of several years. He included this poem at the end from Edward Shaito. This is how his name is pronounced, and I have some music to go with it, which we may sing. The main thing I want you to be able to see the lyrics. We'll get that up eventually here if that works. But then in our small group gathering on Wednesday, we were reflecting on the fact that just from our small group, there have been three that have died in the last year, or since that small group was formed, since they were reorganized. I believe this is the three. If I missed someone, apologize. I believe it was just three: Mervyn, then Henry, and then Perry more recently. And then, not directly from the group, but definitely impacting Harry's family in our group, is Clayton's death 2 weeks ago, I believe it is now. And we experience losses and wounds like that in different ways. And I can't really speak to that nearly as closely as many of you can. As Christians, we talk about the fact that loss and pain are mixed with joy often. But I wonder, are they sometimes mixed more like oil and water, where they don't really quite blend and soften? It doesn't dilute the joy always and doesn't dilute the pain always. And maybe I get the impression, talking to people who've experienced very deep pain and loss, that while they're mixed, you hit little patches of pain that seem just as raw as, and maybe more so in some cases, as the day that pain initially came into your life. And we know that one of the reasons we as Christians view pain, view loss, especially death, differently is because we don't believe it's the end. But there's another reason, and that's one I want to lift up to you this morning, and that is the fact that our God knows about wounds and scars. And I'm not going to make a sweeping statement that no other religion has that, because I don't know everything about every other religion. But it is somewhat unique to have a God that humbled himself and didn't just overthrow his enemies by brute force, but who humbled himself and subjected himself to what mankind does to each other. Those things were done to him. And I've wondered sometimes things like when Jesus cried at Lazarus's wake, or whatever you would call that, was he, in the way I tend to think about that is that we sometimes cry and grieve because we don't know what's going to happen and we can't see the redemption from something. But that's not the only reason. Jesus could see those things. He, in fact, knew that, if I'm not mixing up the stories, I think it was Lazarus, he, in fact, knew that wasn't the end for Lazarus, or at least not for now. I think Lazarus died again eventually. But at least for now, he knew that wasn't the end of that little story. But in some way, Jesus, the divinity that he very definitely had in him, he was God, did not keep him from experiencing. So I don't think he was just crying fake tears. I don't think any of us have ever suspected that Jesus just pulled out the handkerchief and sniffled a bit so that they could know that he's one of us. I don't think he didn't have to make himself relevant to us. He was. And I don't know what all it means for Jesus to did he experience every single kind of emotion exactly the way we do? We're not really told that, but he was tempted in all points like we, and I think wounded in most every point like us, and then in many ways much, much more. And our God, there are several things. Another thing I've been thinking about in the last while is about power and how humans view power and how God views power, especially as the way for us to change. We view power as that's the way to do it. You get a bigger tractor, you bigger hammer, bigger political majority, just make it change. It'll change. And we know that our hearts don't change that way. God came into this world not as this all-inspiring display of brute force, but as a suffering servant in many ways. Do you have that, Josh? Is that going to work to display? Okay, well, I want to look over these lyrics a bit first. It is, it's not exactly direct scriptural quotation, but there's several different pictures of Bible stories in here. In particular, the one of the disciples walking home from, was it to Emmaus, and mourning what wasn't, what they thought was going to be and what wasn't coming about. And then they asked him to stay with them when they discovered who Jesus was. And they encountered the wounds. So let's read through this. It is split into two here. Verse 1, and this is again by Edward Shiito. If we have never sought, we seek thee now. Thine eyes burn through the dark, our only stars. We must have sight of thorn pricks on thy brow. We must have thee, O Jesus of the scars. Verse 2, the heavens frighten us, they are too calm. In all the universe, we have no place. Our wounds are hurting us. Where is the balm? Lord Jesus, by thy scars, we claim thy grace. If when the doors are shut, and this is the picture, I believe, he's referring to of Jesus being alone with the disciples and showing him his wounds. If when the doors are shut, thou drawest near, only reveal those hands, that side of thine. We know today what wounds are. Have no fear. Show us thy scars. We know the countersign. The last verse. The other gods were strong, but thou wast weak. They rode, but thou didst stumble to a throne. But to our wounds, only God's wounds can speak. And not a god has wounds, but thou alone. This is not a complete theology of who Jesus is, but it's a part that I want to glorify him for today, that he came both as we talk about the incarnation, but also that the thing of being wounded and scarred, I mean, there's so many verses in Isaiah and other passages like that that talk about him being wounded for our transgressions, being bruised for our iniquities. Not a god has wounds, but thou alone. The image of Jesus stumbling to a throne, not because of limitation, but because of limiting himself to be subject to the many things we are subject to. I think we'll try to sing this. We'll sing Melody, the first verse, and I'll add alto on the second, and then parts on verse 3 and 4. John, could I get an F?
If we have never sought, we seek thee now. Thine eyes burn through the dark, our only stars. must have thee, O Jesus of the skies. The heavens frighten us, they are to come.
Let's pray. Father, we don't truly understand everything about what it meant for you to come here. We don't understand exactly how you experience the things we experience, but it's clear that you can identify, and you didn't have to fake it. You truly experienced in some way the pain that we experience and much more. We know that many here have lost much in the last year. As we go into a new calendar year, that doesn't really change. Maybe it fades slightly, but we carry much of that with us. We as a community have lost much, and then individuals here have lost much personally. And some of these wounds make us ask questions that make us uncomfortable and we don't have answers for. But we, in that mix of joy and pain, joy at the hope we have and pain at what we have lost, we look to you and we glorify you as the God who didn't just force us to love you, but who drew us and made yourself vulnerable. And we want to choose that in the midst of supreme joy, in the midst of deepest pain. We do ask that you would heal us of our wounds, some of them self-inflicted, some of them inflicted by those around us, and some just by life and being human. We ask for healing today. We ask that we could be drawn closer to you, that we'd be formed more into your image, and that in this service today, you would be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. It's time for Sunday school. The teachers in the basement can be